There's a tower in Toronto called the CN Tower. And it's kind of huge. It's about 1,800 and something feet high. And it's thin at the bottom. And then as you get near the top, there's a roundy flying saucer bit that's got a walkway. So you can have this wonderful view all over Toronto. And when our kids were little, we went there. We went up in the elevator and we got to the roundy bit, the round walkway. What they don't tell you is that halfway round the walkway thing, the bit you walk on turns to glass for about sort of 6 metres. And you're sort of happily walking around looking at a lovely view. Then all of a sudden there's a gasp for everyone who's in front of you as they see they're about to walk on this glass bit. And of course, being glass, you know, you can just see 1,800 feet below. And it's actually really scary. Well, my kids didn't find it scary. They just sort of charged over it. And then, sort of in unison, they stopped and did an about turn and looked at me. And they said, "Come on, Dad." Of course, that sort of makes you more conscious, don't you? And there's all the traffic building up behind you, and you've got this glass platform to walk over. And then they giggled, and they said, "Bye-bye, Dad." which was really very helpful and very encouraging. But there are times in all of our lives as Christians when the opportunity, or perhaps the need, comes for us to step out in faith, to take a risk, to decide not to play it safe. Now, in the case of that glass walkway, I would say that it was a calculated risk on my part, because I actually believed that the guy who designed it knew what he was doing, and probably the glass was a metre thick or something. Well, I hope it was. So I trusted the designer that it would be safe, that he knew what he was doing. And it was safe. I'm here today rather than splattered on the pavement. Today, we're continuing our series of looking at things that Jesus never said, things he didn't say. And this morning, we're going to look at the saying, "You're better safe than sorry." Jesus never said, "You're better safe than sorry." Or did he? I'd like to have a brief look at three passages from the Bible today. And the first, we just had read to us, the episode of Peter getting out of the boat and looking on the water. But I'd like to turn your attention to the second passage. It's in Luke chapter 14, verses 28 to 30. Luke chapter 14, verses 28 to 30. It's only very short, and I'll read it to you. Here's what it says. "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he's got enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.'" That's quite clear, isn't it? There's no tricks in those few verses. It's not difficult to get your head around. What it seems to be saying is that we shouldn't start doing something unless we're absolutely certain that we've got what it takes to finish it. That's what it says, doesn't it? Calculate the cost before you start building the tower, or else you might not have the money to finish it and you'll become a laughingstock. That's what it says. And it was once quoted to me by someone who said that we shouldn't begin a project that we were thinking of doing at the time. It was a project to refurbish a church hall. Now, that was going to cost £180,000 to refurbish the said hall. And we only had £16,000 in the church bank account. Now, you don't have to be an accountant to work out that there's a discrepancy there. So he said, don't do it, he said. Wait until you've got all the money in the bank first before you start. And then start. And I remember him quoting this passage to me. He said, Bob, it says in the Bible, don't start to build a tower without having the money to complete it. And you've got to admit, that's good common sense, isn't it? That's not stupid advice. After all, you're better safe than sorry, aren't you? The snag is that actually that's not what this passage is about at all. It's not about that. It's actually in the context of the cost of discipleship. That's the context of this building a tower thing. It's really saying that there's a cost involved in following Jesus. And you need to know that when you choose to follow him. So you know what you're getting yourself in for. You see, choosing to follow Jesus, I believe it is a decision not to play it safe in many ways. If you've got your Bible open at that passage, if you look at the previous verse to the tower bit, Luke chapter 14 verse 27 says this, and anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Actually, that doesn't sound very safe, does it? And if you look at the verse after this bit about the tower, and then there's another bit to illustrate it about a king doesn't go to war until he thinks he's got enough troops to win it. It says in verse 33, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. That's the context of this tower bit. You see, a move towards Jesus is in many ways a risk. But I will put it to you this morning, it's a calculated risk. Because as with that CN Tower and that glass walkway, I believe that the designer knows what he's doing. This Jesus can be trusted. He knows what he's doing. But there's still an element of trust involved, isn't there? An element of risk. An element of faith. I'd like to just switch the scene now to another passage. That's in Matthew 25, verses 13 to 30. I'll just read that to you. I'll just summarise that for you. It tells of a man who goes on a journey. And when he goes on a journey, he's got three servants. So he leaves each one of them a sum of money. When he comes back later, he asks each one of the servants with whom he's left this money, different servants, different sums of money, to account for what they've done with it. What did you do with my money? What did you do with the money that I gave you to look after? Well, it comes to the first two, and they basically doubled what they'd been given. They made investments or they did stuff with it. And they're able to say to the returning master, here, you gave me this, but I'm giving back to you this. But then he came to the third one. And what he'd done is he'd played it safe. He'd taken that money and he'd buried it in the ground, in a safe place, in the ground. And we're told that the returning master was thrilled, he was happy with what those first two had done with what they'd been given. But the third guy who'd played it safe and gave him back exactly what he'd been given, we're told that the master wasn't that happy about that. Even though his logic might have made sense. There was no risk involved. See, Jesus never said, better safe than sorry. In fact, he sort of implied that if you play it safe, you may end up being sorry. We did a sermon here towards the end of August on financial giving. And I got some feedback off someone who'd felt that God had spoken to them through that sermon on financial giving. And it was I think it was the last Sunday in the month. So not a great Sunday to be challenged about giving, I expect. We all come to the end of our salaries, don't we, at that sort of time. But nevertheless, he'd felt challenged, he said, to write out a check to Alma Church for £200. Now, that's for him, I know, that's a fair bit of money, and it's just the wrong time of the month to be doing stuff like that. It didn't seem like a very sensible investment opportunity for him. And he went home and told his family what he'd done, and they thought he'd gone bananas. Until a week ago, I learned that unexpectedly an envelope had come through the door of that house, and there was a cheque for £2,000 in it. That's good business. There's a cheque for £2,000 in it. And I said, well, what did your family say then? They said to him, put the £2,000 in because we might get £20,000 back then. Now, I am not certain that is how it works. Then again, I might be wrong. So finally, let's have a look at the story of Peter walking on the water. Walking on the water. I mean, how do we know if what we're about to do is faith or stupidity? How can we tell the difference of whether it's actually faith or it's daft? I mean, the next time we have a baptism service at Alma, where this all disappears here and suddenly there's a swimming pool on. In fact, if you haven't been baptized, we might well be doing a baptism service in November. If you'd like to be baptized, I'm not saying you can walk on it, but you certainly go under it. Then do come and have a chat to me or perhaps Carly after the service. And we'd love to include you in those who want to be baptized. So that's just a by the way. But when you see on that day this pool of water in front, I mean, do you walk on it or not? Do you give it a go? Do you give it a go? How do we know if it's faith or stupidity? Well, a lot of people would have thought that I was stupid, that I was stupid to start work on that church hall costing £180,000, only having £16,000 in the church bank account. A lot of people thought that was a stupid thing to do. But if you were to visit that church, you might notice, if you walk round the back, a lovely refurbished hall. You see, the work started and the money came when it was needed. So can you then just do what you feel like and expect God to underwrite it? How do you know if it's faith or it's stupidity? Am I saying this morning, hey guys, do what you fancy and God will underwrite it? Well, no. And yes. No and yes. What is the key? The key has got to be this, whether Jesus has told you to do it or not. That's the key. What God has told you to do, he will underwrite. I say that with no doubt, no question at all. If God has told you to do something, he will underwrite it. He has to. So you can take the risk. Because the risk isn't actually on you. The risk is on him, isn't it? You're taking a risk on Jesus that he's able to do through you and in you what he's told you to do. Well, you might say, yeah, okay, but actually Jesus never tells me to do anything, so I'm all right. Jesus never tells me to take any risks. What it strikes me with this walking on the water episode in Peter's life, unless I've got it wrong, Peter initiates it. Doesn't it go something like this in verse 28? Lord, if it's you, tell me to come on the water. Isn't that how it goes? Peter sort of initiates it, doesn't it? What he sees Jesus doing, that causes him to want to do the same thing. So if you say to me, well, Bob, you know, I understand that principle, but God, he's never asked me to step out in faith. He's never asked me to take any risks. Well, have you ever asked him if there's anywhere that he wants you to take a step of faith? Have you asked? It could be something simple. Maybe someone who you know is not a Christian. And you want to take a step of faith by mentioning Jesus to them in some way, but you're not really very confident in how to do it, or not sure how to do it, or how to open the conversation, or what they're going to say if you do, and all that kind of stuff. That for you might be like walking on the water. When Peter got out of that boat on that day, he only did it for one reason. He saw Jesus doing it, and Jesus told him to. So he took a risk on Jesus. And actually, if you read how it's written very carefully. He did walk on the water. That's implicit in the passage. It doesn't say he got out of the boat and because humans are more dense than water, he sunk. It just doesn't say that. At all. Actually, he got out of the boat and started to walk on that water. I don't know, it doesn't say how many steps he took. I don't know, did he do one, two, three? It says he started coming towards Jesus. So I reckon he took two or three. So he did get out of the boat and he did walk on the water. And he only started sinking when he took his eyes off of Jesus. That's the point at which he started sinking. When he took his eyes off of Jesus and put them on the problems and the difficulties, the situation, then he started to sink. If you like, he started walking in faith and then switched to common sense. And common sense says people can't walk on water, especially when it's rough. Isn't it? Now, there's nothing wrong with common sense. I don't want a million emails saying what's wrong with common sense. So I'll go ex-directory on my email box. There's nothing wrong with common sense. It's just that sometimes Jesus calls us to step out in faith in a way that defies common sense. Like taking up your cross and following him. In that case, I would say that God sense trumps common sense. And what is becoming plain as we look at many of these common sense sayings on a Sunday morning is that actually they are nonsense to God. I wonder this morning, when was the last time that you felt the Lord calling you to step out in faith with something? When was the last time you felt the Lord telling you to step out in faith? Someone once said this to me. They said, Bob, faith is like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, it won't grow and develop. Faith is like a muscle. If you don't exercise, use it, it won't grow and develop. You know, the list of those who have walked on water is very, very short indeed. For indeed, the list of those who have walked on the water has but one name on it. Peter. The fact that he didn't get very far, I don't think matters. You see, he would have remembered those few steps for the rest of his life. And I reckon it's better to take a risk and get your name on that list, even if occasionally you get a good soaking, than to play it safe and stay dry in the boat. I bet that the others in that boat, years later, looking back on that episode, maybe wished that they'd given it a try too. Because Peter had a tale to tell. Jesus told Peter to give it a go. He said, come. And when Peter got himself in trouble, Jesus was there for him on that day. But what Jesus never said was, you're better safe than sorry.